Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9.05 the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, our final hour this week. My first day this week. I've been on vacation, but I'm back. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you on this Friday, June 5th, 2026. 72 degrees, going to warm up to about 88 today, shifting clouds and sun, and then tonight partly cloudy. The forecast, though, for the weekend, there's some rain in the forecast, but there's also some sunshine, possibility of thunderstorms, and that will continue into early next week. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by our friend Ed DeRosa for the final time this season, our handicapper of horse racing, as he'll break down the Belmont Stakes for us, which will once again take place outside of New York. Well, no, inside New York, but not in the city, not in the suburbs. It will be way upstate at Saratoga for the third straight year. We'll get his thoughts on that. But right now, it's time for 10 in a row.
Not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but 10 in a row.
It's the game show that has swept the nation. It is 10 in a row. If you'd like to participate, jump on the Sissy's Log Cabin Lister lines right now at 901-360-8255. It's brought to you each and every week by Gates Lumber and Napa Cafe.
That's right, Gates Lumber. Serving up folks in Memphis for over 100 years now. Your home is your biggest investment. You want to make sure it is the best it can be. And Gates Lumber certainly has a lot of things to help with your home improvement, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, whether you're a contractor, whatever. They've got all the things that you need, including a great selection of custom windows and doors. You can find their solid construction doors built for security, durability, and beauty. You can compare wood, steel, fiberglass options all side by side right there in the Gates showroom. They've got a great knowledgeable staff to help you choose whatever it is that you need and make sure it's perfect for your home. They have they're family owned and operated. Mentioned over 100 years they've been doing it. Free estimates, free delivery, competitive prices, quality products. You'll find it all at Gates Lumber. 1253 South Bellevue Boulevard is where they're located. You can also find them online at gateslumber.com. Check them out at Gates Lumber. The winner of 10 in a row today will get a $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe, a $25 gift certificate to the Owner's Box out in Lakeland, a McDonald's gift pack with some freebies from McDonald's, as well as a couple of Malco movie passes.
All right, here's the question. Division I schools that finished the 25-26 season, so this past season, with their football team and men's basketball team, both ranked in the final AP Top 25 poll. So Division I schools that finished with their football team and their men's basketball team in the final AP Top 25 poll. If they did, it's a yes. If not, it's a no. There you go.
All right. Leading us off of one of the biggest upsets in the history of 10 in a row last week when he somehow did not get it, even after getting a head start. Joe is back here as summer vacation is on. So, Joe, are you going to redeem yourself from that massive upset last week?
I'm going to try to, but can I shout out one of my students real quick?
Sure.
Something athletically? Yeah. So I think in March I was on the way to robotics. Yeah. They won state, made it to world. So I had a golfer, shout out to John Goen for hosting this at Timber Trust. Mm-hmm. But Luke Taylor, last year from the White Tees at Timber Trust at District, he shot, I think it was a 54. And a lot of this was independent of any of my instruction. He goes out and shot. Well, I mean that in the sense that a lot of this is work he put in grinding over the summer. Not to disparage myself, but he went out and shot a 37 and won a scorecard playoff. Ended up, then he shot 78 at Audubon, which was one of the top two public schools individual, and he made it to state.
This good is for
a kid
him.
Who shot that's awesome. 18 over, and the next year was playing at state. So that's shout great. Out to Luke.
Shout out Luke. Okay, here we go. Division I schools have finished with a football men's basketball team in the final AP Top 25 poll for this past season. Louisville.
No.
Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Indiana.
I'm going to say no.
Florida.
Oh, I'm going to say no because of Napier.
Tennessee.
No.
Texas.
Yes.
Houston.
Oh, I'm going to say no.
360-8255. It was a good run for Joe. It's been a little bit of a slump, the Hall of Famer.
Last week, he called in late. We were already like six deep on the list, and Joe did not win it. I either thought it was going to be the easy. We thought he was going to walk to the win, and he failed. Steven is next up.
Hey Steven.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. We go to list two. Utah.
No.
Alabama.
Yes.
Iowa.
No.
360-8255. That was more of a question from
Steve. Said it with such confidence.
I know.
Rightfully so. Dan is next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Man, Joe messed me up. I usually put a wire in. I didn't do it because I was following him.
All right, here we go, Dan. You got a head start on list one. Louisville.
Yes.
Oh, Dan.
Oh.
360-8255. We got some open lines. Who's next?
Next up is Jack. Hello, Jack.
What's happening, Jack?
Morning, guys.
Utah.
No.
Alabama.
No.
360-8255. Division I schools that finished with a football and men's basketball team in the final AP Top 25 poll this past season.
360-8255, 360-8255. We've got open lines right now for you to play 10 in a row. Again, the winner of 10 in a row getting a $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe, $25 to the owner's box, some McDonald's gift pack with some freebies from McDonald's, as well as a couple of Malco movie passes. 360-8255 to play 10 in a row. Napa Cafe, I mentioned the $50 gift certificate to Napa Cafe, one of the great sponsors of 10 in a row. Celebrating 28 years in business over at Napa Cafe. They're at 5101 Sanderlin. Also online, NapaCafe.com. Open for dinner Wednesday through Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock at the website. You can check out the menu. You can make your reservations. Great place for great food. Just a great atmosphere with a private wine cellar if you're celebrating a special occasion. But they got five different dining rooms for whatever your occasion might call for. Go check them out and enjoy some of that great food. Also, the entire menu available for curbside pickup to take it home with you. If you want to take some of that delicious Napa Cafe food home, you can do that as well very easily. In 28 years now, they've been serving up great food in East Memphis at Napa Cafe.
All right. Who's next?
Next up is Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Morning.
Morning. All right, here we go. Division I schools that finished this past season with their football team and men's basketball team in the final Associated Press Top 25 poll. Louisville.
No.
Texas Tech.
Yes.
Indiana.
No.
Florida.
No.
Tennessee.
No.
Texas.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Michigan State.
No.
BYU.
No.
Ole Miss.
No.
Winner.
Jim, congratulations. You are a winner. Hold on, and Jay will let you know how to get your prizes.
Good job, Jim. All right, you got a good lead in from Joe, but he handled all the rest flawlessly. No second chance?
No.
Okay, so list two, Eli. Let's test your knowledge. Utah.
No.
Alabama.
Yes.
Iowa.
No.
You messed up like Steve did. Yes. Iowa in the top 25 in both. Miami.
No.
There are yes.
Basketball did make top 25.
Yes. USC.
No.
Vanderbilt.
Yes.
That is correct. Georgia.
Nope.
Virginia.
Nope.
That's a yes. There are surprises, right? Vanderbilt, Virginia, both sports, top 25. Michigan.
Did football? No.
Yes. Oregon.
Nope.
There you go. That's 10 in a row. It's brought to you each and every week by Napa Cafe and by Gates Lumber. A little harder than I thought it would be. From the world of Major League Baseball, saw the Aaron Judge news yesterday. Not good for the Pinstripers. He's going to be out for a while. In 4 to 6 weeks, they're going to do more testing on his rib fracture.
Yep, bad news for the Yankees, that is for sure. A fracture in one of his ribs. And so he's going to be out at least the 4 to 6 weeks, and then we'll see from there. But that is obviously a massive, massive loss for them.
Speaking of baseball, we talked about a little bit earlier, the matchups for the NCAA Super Regionals. Got 4 games today. I'm not sure if you got the schedule in front of you. 4 games for tomorrow, so it will run from today through Monday.
There'll be 8 games tomorrow.
Oh, they're playing all the series are playing tomorrow.
So okay. You play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Okay, gotcha. Ole Miss at Auburn. How did they do during the regular season?
They did not play each other.
They didn't play? Wow. How many SEC games are there for the conference games? Does each team play?
I'm not sure how many series it is. I don't remember how many series it is.
But obviously it's not 30. Or is there 18 teams now? How many teams are there now in the SEC?
There's 16 teams.
So 15, that would be 40. Yeah, they're not playing that many, so you skip.
There's like 5 teams you don't play, 5 or 6 teams.
Five or six. Yeah. And Ole Miss and Auburn did not play. So they will start tonight in the Super Regional in Auburn, 6:30. We'll have it for you right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM. We'll have the Saturday game as well. Ole Miss at Auburn starting at 3:30.
Cal Poly in West Virginia will play at 11 a.m. today. USC North Carolina will be at 2 o'clock. Little Rock and Troy will be at 4. And then Ole Miss and Auburn rounding out the day of baseball as far as the college baseball with that game tonight. Then the Sunday game, if it is necessary, they do not have a game time yet. That'll depend on exactly how many games there are Sunday, all of that stuff, television purposes. Ole Miss and Auburn, but they do know that tomorrow's game will be at 4. Sunday's game, there is no time set for that yet.
Well, as dominant as the SEC has been in winning it all, 5 in a row, 6 of 7 in Omaha, you still get, I don't want to call it parity, but you still get the little guys, if you will, that break through and make it to Omaha. And some of these programs are very good year in and year out. You're not going to Omaha if you're not a very good team. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a very good program and that you have been, it's been sustainable for years, but some are. And that's why we've seen some of the schools that have made it to Omaha and have even won World Series titles over the years. You look at a team like Coastal Carolina, and they're an absolute power in baseball. They're not there every year, but I think you get a little more chance of the David in baseball than you do in football and basketball. There's where the Cal Polys come in. The West Virginias, I mean, not known as this baseball power. Little Rock and Troy. Again, very good programs. Memphis played Little Rock. I don't remember if they played Troy this year, but they play Little Rock, I think, home and home every year, seems like. Even a Southern Cal. I think they've had great programs, of course, but a little bit of Kansas is a surprise. You don't think of baseball with Kansas that much. St. John's making it to a super regional. But you have the powers, some of the powers from the SEC that are still alive. What you don't have is LSU. LSU's won, 2 of the last 3 national titles?
I believe that's correct, yes.
So that'll be fun. So that'll be going on this weekend. But again, tonight it's game 2 of the NBA Finals with the Knicks and the Spurs. Again, that line has fluctuated. I see now 5.5. You said 6.5 earlier, I guess, depending on the book you're looking at. This is according to, ESPN Bet. But the Spurs have to win tonight, as Jay Ham said.
There is no ESPN Bet.
Well, who is it on ESPN that they use?
I don't know. Probably DraftKings.
DraftKings.
DraftKings, okay. But again, you saw 6.5. I'm not sure who you're looking at.
That was at FanDuel.
Okay, so, yeah, lose this one at home, fall behind 0-2. It's going to be rough road for the Spurs to come back from.
The mobster will say it will be curtains if they go back to New York down 0-2. Curtains, I tell you.
Their average margin of victory in the Now, again, they did lose one. They lost because they lost back-to-back games to Oklahoma City. But the five wins that they've had coming off of a loss in the playoffs, the average margin of victory total is 25.4. So they've been very good off of losses, other than the one game against Oklahoma City.
It's been a while since we've seen the Knicks lose, and let alone lose by 25.
Yeah, that's right.
What is Mike Brown doing right?
Giving the ball to Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter.
Getting out of their way, right?
Getting out of
not overcoaching.
Remember when they were going earlier this year about what their effort was and this, that, and the other, and he told them, hey, there's no adjustment, guys. The adjustment is you guys playing better. Bring your effort. That's what they've done. And like you said, he stayed out of the way, deployed his bench accordingly. There we are.
I've always liked Mike Brown. I thought they kind of fell into him, which was good for them. But, yeah, it would be something if he's able to win him an NBA title, which has been so long for the long-suffering Knicks fans. All those rich-as-hell Knicks fans will have something to actually cheer about. Did you see the collision, Eli, between Muncy and Vargas yesterday?
I did. That was nasty. And that's two pretty big dudes running into each other as well. But luckily, no serious injuries. They just a little banged up. But man, those two guys running full speed basically into each other, that's a collision.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, the Belmont Stakes will take place tomorrow. It'll be the final race of horse racing's Triple Crown. We'll get the inside scoop from Ed DeRosa. He's next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Next year, that switchback to a mile and a half for the Belmont. But yeah, as of this year, it's the Derby distance.
But even at a mile and a quarter, with only nine horses, there's more real estate out there. There's more room to maneuver.
Absolutely. And Saratoga is a different configuration than Churchill as well. So not only do you have the shorter field, but Saratoga is a mile and an eighth around. So you don't have that long. You're not running the whole length of the stretch as you do in the Derby. And that changes dynamics a little bit, because if you get into your rhythm in the turn as quickly as it is, that helps front runners. The physics of it, it's a lot better for front runners to have a sort of commanding control position quicker into a race than like the Derby, and the shorter field helps as well.
You talked about Renegade, and this, again, unlike the Derby, it won't be as good, but do you expect Renegade to go off as the favorite?
I do, yeah. And he's actually, he didn't say so, but I'm guessing Mike Rapoli, his billionaire owner, made the first ceremonial big bet on Renegade. He actually opened at 1-5. Betting is now open on the Belmont. So yesterday, with about 100,000 in the pool, Renegade had, 60,000 of the bet. And I bet his owner probably put 50,000 to win. So he's the overwhelming favorite right now. That won't hold come tomorrow. But, yeah, I fully expect him to be the favorite. I'd legitimately be surprised if he's not.
What about, has Chief Wallaby run in either of the other races?
He was fourth in the Derby.
Okay, what do you think about him? Right now I see 3-1. I'm not sure if that's changed.
Yeah, that's the morning line, which he'll probably be around that. I mean, because of that big bet on Renegade, the odds are a little funky right now. But he'll be around 3 or 4 to 1. And he's, I would say, one of the upset candidates. One thing that I think is interesting with him, and you know, I've kind of hinted at this, thinking the Belmont's going to be differently run than the Derby. There's definitely not as much pace here. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Mott has been training Chief Wallaby to be a little more aggressive out of the gate. I would expect to see him closer to the pace in the Belmont than we did in the Derby.
The one horse that I've seen, I've actually seen a couple of different people that like him, I don't know if necessarily to win, but is the other Rapoli Pletcher horse, Power Shift.
Yeah, he's a wild card for sure, and part of the reason is because what I just spoke to with Chief Wallaby. Power Shift has a real opportunity to be the leader of this race, gate to wire. And he's a big price right now. It's probably come down, but, 12-15 to 1, certainly worth a flyer if you think a horse can steal it. He'd be the one. An interesting note about Power Shift is he was actually in the same career debut race as Emerging Market. They ran their first start together in February at Tampa Bay Downs, and Emerging Market won that day. So the fact that this maiden race at Tampa Bay from February has produced two Belmont Stakes starters is pretty incredible.
Well, you like to make plays that can try to win some people some good money. You're not a chalk guy. You like to go out there on a limb. It looks tough to make money in this one unless we got a real huge upset. So, one, are we going to get a huge upset? And if so, who is that horse going to be? How are we going to win money?
Well, I wouldn't say a huge upset, but I really like Emerging Market, who beat Power Shift in that maiden race, won the Louisiana Derby, and then was 10th in the Kentucky Derby. But that was his third career start. Now he has 5 weeks to develop, and I'm expecting a much better performance here, and we're going to get what I consider a great price. In terms of making money on the race, I really think the key and the opportunity here is for Renegade and Golden Tempo to run out of the Exacta. So they were the Exacta on Derby Day, but I don't think there's any reason to think that both or even one of them have to be in the top two in the Belmont Stakes. I think Chief Wallaby, Commandment, and Emerging Market, all three are as good, and they're all going to be longer prices. So for me, I'm going to play a big Exacta, just trying to beat Golden Tempo and Renegade out of it.
So let's see. So Emerging Market is the 8. You said Chief Wallaby at the 3, yep. And then Commandment the 7?
The 7.
Okay.
Well,
so basically, if you know, the thought is these were three horses thought of to be as good, certainly going into the Derby thought to be better than Golden Tempo.
Yeah.
And just think the way the Belmont Stakes is going to be run, if you play that opinion, there's opportunity here because Golden Tempo and Renegade are going to be over bet.
See, I like that. I would do that when I used to really go to a lot of horse tracks when I was back east. I would do those type of things. You know, you try to throw out the favorite there and hope that you have a couple of long shots come in. The problem is now is being you're throwing out the top two and hoping right. That both those guys are outside first or second. And if so, you have your horses come in. So it's quite a long shot, but it's not a big gamble. I think it's worth to take a shot at it because if you went Golden Tempo, a Renegade Golden Tempo. That what would that a $2 Exacta would pay what, Ed? $2.20?
A little more than that. I'd say maybe $6.
Oh, it would pay. You would triple your money though.
Yeah.
Okay, but Ed's looking for the big score.
Yeah, I think again to me we you know well I went into the Derby. I mean I know a few people who like Golden Tempo, but I went into the Derby thinking especially a Commandment and Emerging Market and Chief Wallaby, like oh these are three really good horses, and you know the Derby was extremely uniquely run. I mean, when we've seen the way the Derby was run this year, it was similar to Giacomo and Rich Strike, where you get those ridiculous long shots. Now I think Golden Tempo is better than both of those horses, but nevertheless, he's going to be over bet here, and the opportunity to take advantage of inefficient market.
Well, we wish you nothing but the best with the Belmont. We always enjoy having you on. And something comes up big in horse racing, of course, we know who to dial up.
Yeah.
If not, we'll talk to you again next season. Horse racing analyst, insider, reporter for Horse Racing Nation. He's Ed DeRosa. Follow him on Twitter at EJXD2. Ed, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Let's win some money.
Sounds
absolutely
great.
I'm all for winning money. I support winning money. I am pro winning money. That's kind of that's where I stand on anything in life. I'm always pro winner, pro winning money. So 837. Those were the three horses.
Is a possibility to have anybody in this world that's anti winning money? I can't imagine.
I don't know. With all the parlays you place, I feel like you are. But that's just me. Guns, guns, and more guns. That's what it's all about over at Classic Arms, with over 700 firearms in stock, plus all your supplies from ammunition to safes and cases and just really everything. The folks over at Classic Arms have it all. They also do free gun inspections and free gun appraisals over at Classic Arms. Not only do they have new guns, but they also have used, because not only do they sell, but they will also buy and they will trade. All the top brand names that you can imagine, they're going to have them. Again, over 700 firearms in stock. They're pretty much, pretty confident they're going to have anything that you could possibly be looking for over at Classic Arms. 1740 Germantown Parkway. That's right behind Corky's Barbecue out there in Cordova. And online, where you could shop 24/7 at ClassicArmsOfMemphis.com. For everything in the world of firearms, go see them at Classic Arms.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 9:45, our final segment before we hand things off to Dave Woloshin.
So, I've been talking that the Cubs continue to make history seemingly every game. Of course, they were the second team ever to have the two 10-game winning streaks and a 10-game losing streak. Then they became the first team ever to follow a 15-game home winning streak with an 8-game losing streak. Last night, somehow they won. I completely gave up on the game. I'll be honest. I told you yesterday. They're down 2-1. I give up. They're up 1-0. I give up. Last night they were down 6-1. So I was even never gave it a
turn. Turned it off. Roller coaster night for Pete Crow Armstrong, wasn't it?
They come back and they win. They made history again. They're the only Major League Baseball team in the last 50 years to have seven different players who came into the inning batting 250 or worse all get hits in the bottom of the ninth inning of the same game.
Gosh, they have a record for everything, don't they?
They scored four in the ninth. I have no idea how that possibly happened, that they actually pieced that many hits together and scored four runs in the ninth inning.
Pete Crow Armstrong lost one. Was it a night game? I don't even know. He lost one in the sun or in the lights, whatever it was.
In the lights.
Ended up being what, an inside the park homer?
Mm-hmm.
And then he hit a home run. So he redeemed himself, Pete Crow Armstrong. But yeah,
had the walk-off hit.
Yeah, nice win for your Cubs. Phillies continue to play pretty well. I've noticed, while I was on vacation watching but they're not making any dent into that Braves lead. I think it's 8 now for Atlanta in the NL East. The Braves have been very consistent, but the Phillies have actually played very well since Don Mattingly took over. I saw this ranking. It's the boring time of the year for most that are football fans, right? Football doesn't start, get cranked up for a while, and so you're going to have all kinds of different stories. Usually the rankings of the projected starting quarterbacks of the NFL. This is a story in Sports Illustrated of the ranking of the NFL's 32 backup quarterbacks. And again, if you think you're projecting, in some instances, the starter, like in Minnesota, will be Kyler Murray, will be J.J. McCarthy. More than likely, will be Kyler Murray. There's a couple of battles going on. But for the most part, second string quarterbacks, come on, man. I mean, some places you know, other places is a complete guess. But they went ahead and they put together their list of 32, the best backup quarterback, according to Sports Illustrated, coming into the 2026 season, is no other than Joe Flacco, who is now how old? 41?
40-something.
Joe Flacco of the Bengals, number one backup quarterback for the 26th season. Number two, Mac Jones, San Francisco. Number three, Tua Tagovailoa for Atlanta. We know he's had some bright moments with the Dolphins, but also the lack of success and overall not good enough, and he's shipped out to Atlanta. Why would he be projected at number three? Because he has all that starting experience? He failed in Miami overall.
Yeah, but he's had success. Like, he's been good.
Then again, you look at the list, and you can understand why he's so high.
You're talking about backup quarterbacks. Like,
right, right. You understand.
There's not many of them that have had great success in the NFL.
Well, there's a guy like Marcus Mariota is in the top 10 with the Commanders. I was about to say the Redskins. And I don't know. I'd rather go with Marcus Mariota than I would Tua Tagovailoa. But it is what it is. Jameis Winston, number four. Number five is Fernando Mendoza. So there you go, the Heisman Trophy winner, but again, projected to be a backup, at least to start, to Kirk Cousins. They already rank him at number five. And that's obviously a complete guess. Spencer Rattler of New Orleans is number six. At the back of the list, it's interesting, they got number 32 for the New York Jets, and they got it as Cade Klubnik. Now they have a guy like Bailey Zappe. There is a veteran on the team that could be the backup, but they think it'll be Klubnik when it's all said and done from Clemson, who's number 32. It's an interesting list, to say the least, because, again, some teams are still trying to figure out their starting quarterback. As far as second stringers, who knows? Mitchell Trubisky is one that they like. I think he was top 10, at least top 15. He's the projected backup to Cam Ward with the Tennessee Titans. Mentioned earlier about some Memphis notes. I do expect Penny Hardaway to use that 15th scholarship on a player. So we'll see what happens here in the coming days. Other than that, all 14 players signed right now on campus working out, which is great news for the Tigers. And for the football Tigers, I mentioned earlier about the preseason publications that are now coming out left and right. The Sporting News has them picked second in the American. That's the same spot that Athlon Sports in their preview magazine had them picked. Brian Dacus, so you could hear 3 to 6 sports time on Sports 56 with Brian and Stats. He wrote more on this ranking from Sporting News. They don't say a lot about Memphis, but they do, God bless you, they do project Marcus Stokes as the starting quarterback. They say that the team should be much improved from 8-5 last year, 4-4 in conference play. And they have them in the conference championship game. They don't project what bowl they're going to. But they also talk about the whole group of six. And with Memphis playing both UNLV, the favorite to win the Mountain West. Remember, they've been in the championship the last 3 years in the Mountain West, but they lost to Boise State. Boise State now has moved over to the Pac. So the Pac-12, they are the favorite there. So Memphis will play them in week number 3. So it has nothing to do with conference and finishing second and making the conference championship game. But if you're talking about the possibility of a playoff being the group of six representative, obviously you have to win your conference championship game. But Memphis would put themselves in incredible position, Eli, if they went out and won road games at UNLV and Boise State. They'd be the clear-cut favorite, not even having played one conference game.
Connor O'Gara has New Mexico as his group of five, or group of six, I guess now.
Yeah, group of six.
Representative.
Really?
He had his bracket, his predicted bracket earlier this week, and he has New Mexico in there. He has Oregon at 1, Texas 2, Notre Dame 3, Indiana 4, Miami 5, Ole Miss 6, Georgia 7, Alabama 8, BYU 9, Michigan 10, Texas Tech 11, and New Mexico at 12.
Huh.
So he has Ole Miss, again, having another very good year, and as the number 6 seed, he has them beating Texas Tech and then losing to Notre Dame.
The 2026 ACC-SEC Challenge, which happens annually. The matchups are now set. I think John Rothstein first reporting this. Ole Miss this season will be taking on Virginia Tech. That will be at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. That will come up on Tuesday, December 1st. Some other matchups. Duke at Florida. Arkansas at North Carolina. Florida State will travel to Tennessee, Texas at Louisville, Alabama at Miami of Florida, Georgia Tech will be at Mississippi State, Vandy will take on Notre Dame in South Bend, some of those matchups for the college basketball season. Mentioned the Tigers and Penny Hardaway and his roster. The schedule's still not complete as we continue to wait to see what happens with the St. Jude event. Again, it's expected to be a regular season event involving four teams, Memphis being one of them, but nothing yet has been signed, sealed, and delivered. We still await that. And if I'm not mistaken, Memphis still has a couple of openings with bye games that they would add, some teams that will be making a check and hopefully losing a game to the University of Memphis.
Yeah, I think they've got three games still.
I
know they're playing
three.
The 32. I think it's three games still that they need to add to get to the 32 level.
Mentioned that the president will be at game three of the NBA finals in New York. Already that's a zoo. It is going to be really a zoo when the president attends, which would be on Sunday. Also the president?
Monday?
Oh, they're not going every other day?
No.
So it'll be on Monday. Donald Trump also came out supporting the Protect College Sports Act, which we talked about earlier, the bipartisan bill produced by Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. Again, got a lot of support from a lot of people in the political arena, which is nice to see that the two sides can get along for something. Unfortunately, the Big Ten and the SEC, which don't always get along on subjects, including the future of the college football playoff, do get along as far as this is concerned, as they made the joint statement yesterday that while they believe it's important, I think, to have the help of Congress to try to steer collegiate sports in the right direction, they do not agree with the bill and the way the bill is written. So we'll see if they go back to the drawing board to try to come up with a different version that's more conducive to what the SEC and the Big Ten want, which is, again, more power because they feel, you know, financially it's not an even Steven situation. So you can certainly understand that, but hopefully they can figure something out. I've been back and forth, but I do believe that it has come to that point where it's desperation time. So hopefully they can come to some tweaks in the bill, maybe more tweaks than we first imagined, and they'll get that all figured out. But other things that they like include the 5 for 5, 5 years to play 5 seasons, no matter what. And then, of course, the transfer rules as well. There's a lot of things in that bill, but the financial distribution, not exactly ideal for the Big Ten and the SEC. That is going to do it for us today and this week. We want to thank you folks for listening, your calls, your texts. We always appreciate it. Thanks to John Varlis and Joe DeLeon and Ed DeRosa for joining us on the program. We're back Monday morning starting bright and early at 7 a.m. Again, you want to catch some Ole Miss baseball in the Super Regionals at Auburn, 6:30 tonight, game one of the series right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Wolo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy, for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great weekend, everybody.